Well, as I was preparing for coming to Psalm 18 today, I found something very interesting in perusing around the internet and seeing what the general thought about Psalm 18 would be. And I found a reference to a pastor in Pakistan. His name is Eric Sarwar. The story is relayed here. He grew up singing some native translations of the Psalms into his tongue at home and at church. So singing the Psalms was something that he was familiar with. And the next thought here is what really caught my eye. You see, in the land of Pakistan, a place of persecution toward Christians, when he was attacked by persecutors in 2009, and this particular pastor, his parents and his wife were attacked in 2010. And the story about his life said he took comfort in Psalm 18. And I thought, well, wow, that's a wonderful thing. We always try to see that with the Psalms, a particular way that psalm is comes out in real life. Like, when was that psalm something that someone would cling to in a time of persecution? And the next phrase is the one that really caught my eye in this story. It says that Psalm 18 is the most popular psalm in Pakistan. And I thought that was particularly interesting, that this particular psalm is, according to this pastor, the most popular psalm. And here the story continues. It says, Psalm 18 represents God's providence, His safety, His power, His deliverance and kindness. And in our context of living below the poverty line and facing discrimination and hard challenges every day, Psalm 18 gives hope and encouragement. And he goes on to talk about the musical tune that they have with the psalm being appropriate and one that catches the ear. Now, I thought that really is an accurate summary of Psalm 18, because that's something that we're noticing. It does seem to cover all of the range of human emotions. It does go from A to Z almost in the Christian life. And we would expect that, wouldn't we? Because this psalm comes at the end of David's life. And who in the scriptures is more familiar with persecution and with drama? A life of David reads like a movie script. Enemies around every corner, miraculous and heroic adventures, giants, battles. Whose life is like the life of David? And so this a prophet in the Old Testament is eminently qualified to cover all the bases when it comes to covering the life of the Christian. Now, the interesting thing about Psalm 18 coming at the end of his life is it does sum up many of the ways that God delivered David and many of the ways that God gave strength to David. And that really is the bulk of the second part of Psalm 18. It is how does David get strength? And I find that this is very practical for you and I today, because we need strength. And we want to know where strength comes from. Well, Psalm 18 will help us today to understand strength. Now, we have the very distinct advantage today of having this psalm as a part of the inspired Word of God. It's not just a song. It's not just a letter or a book of the Bible. It's particularly God speaking to us in a very unique way, because it is God speaking to us in the form of song. And I do believe whether we live in Pakistan or whether we live in China or Scotland or America, the Christian can find strength from the Word of God. And we come then to pick up with verse 27. In Psalm 18, and I do believe, as I said earlier, we're sort of skipping across the top of the water here, but I do think just in very general terms, we can see 12 ways that we are strengthened by God in Psalm 18. So if you are a Christian who needs to be strengthened today, find 12 ways where we are strengthened by God. Now, one of the underlying themes of those 12 ways that we are strengthened will be found in the work of Jesus Christ. Because I would submit to you today that out of these 12, without the work of Jesus Christ, you have zero ways of being strengthened by God. Because of all of the ways before us, everyone is linked in some way to one of the three offices of Christ. Whether he is as a prophet, or as a priest, or as a king. In one of those particular offices will give us these 12 strengths. So let's come to consider those as we pick up at verse 27. First of all, God strengthens his people with revelation. And in our day, we would say with the word of God. It was a little different in David's day, David being a prophet. But look at what David says in verse 27, particularly verse 28. But let's read verse 27. For you will save the humble people, but will bring down haughty looks. Verse 28. For you will light my lamp. The Lord my God will enlighten my darkness. Now, consider the depth of what David is saying by the fact that God is lighting his lamp and leading him in darkness. These are words that are chosen very carefully. Over and over again in God's Word, we are reminded of the importance of revelation from God. How much strength would we have if we did not have God's Word? God's Word strengthens us. God does not leave us without direction from heaven. And as time has gone forward in the history of the church from the garden up until our present day, or more particularly to the time of the apostles, God has completed the canon of Scripture and he has revealed more and more up until the time of the apostles. We have a different revelation today than in the past. We have more of God's Word. We have the fulfillment of God's Word, would be a good way to say that. We have the complete Word of God. And so for that reason, we would say if God was going to reveal something to us, it doesn't come in a quiet time in the closet or ascending to the top of a mountain. God doesn't give us new revelation. God has already given us revelation. And in that revelation, God gives us strength. And I like to just give that encouragement. We're not lacking in anything now that we don't have a prophet David next to us, or as a member of our church, or as our king. We have the Word of God, and the Word of God is not deficient in any way. And in fact, we can make the case, as Jesus made the case when he said, "You will benefit by me going away," that we looked at a few weeks ago, that we actually have the greatest revelation in the history of the church. We have the fullness of the Word of God, and we're not under persecution. We have copies of the Bible in any possible way that we want. The full revelation of God. This, my friends, is the first way that we find strength from God in Psalm 18. David says, "You will light my lamp. The Lord my God will enlighten the darkness." And that kind of language is familiar to us in the Psalms. We all know Psalm 119, 105, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." So there's a spiritual depth to those words, speaking about wisdom that comes through revelation of having the word of God. Now the strengthening that we receive from the word of God points us to something that Jesus does for us. Now we know the three offices of Christ as prophet, priest, and king. How are we strengthened by one of the offices of Christ here in this first way of being strengthened in Psalm 18? Through the prophetic ministry of Christ. Because Christ reveals. The Larger Catechism, question 43, asks, "How doth Christ execute the office of a prophet?" Christ executed the office of a prophet in his revealing to the church in all ages, and this would apply to Psalm 18, by his Spirit and Word in diverse ways of administration, the whole will of God in all things concerning their edification and salvation. And so as we see this general pattern that we're going to follow for all 12, we see here that by his giving of his word, God strengthened David, and then so the same applies to you and I. By his giving of his word, we are strengthened. So the first point, by making application, Christian, today, do you need to be strengthened? Where would you find that strength? We're strengthened by the Word of God. The second way that God strengthens us in Psalm 18 comes in verse 29. Just a very simple observation that God can strengthen us physically. Now, look at what he does for David in verse 29. For by you I can run against a troop. By my God I can leap over a wall. Now, I know we've sung that several times in the past few weeks, getting ready for today. I've never run against a troop, and I'm pretty sure I've never leaped over a wall. So this is something that we want to observe, that God can strengthen us physically. I can think of more practical examples in my own life. Many times our trials involve long hours of physical toil or physical suffering. Sometimes a chain of events that can drain us of our very life. Sometimes that might come in the form of sickness, or sometimes it can be in taking care of another person who's sick. That can take a lot out of us physically to take care of someone else. Sometimes it comes in physical labor. Sometimes we have to work two or three or four jobs to make ends meet. Now, in these times that we cry out for strength from God so that we might endure, God strengthens us physically. For David, it was to run against a troop and to leap over a wall. For Samson, it was to pull down a building. For the Apostle Paul, it was to endure beatings and the venom of a snake. But for you and I, it might be on a little different scale. For each of us, and in different ways, the Lord has promised to sustain us. And even by giving us physical strength to go through the trials, God has promised that we will endure the trials. He has promised that we will not fail. And we have particular biblical examples, like in Psalm 105:24, where God promises strength. He says he increases his people greatly and made them stronger than their enemies. So there is a particular way that God makes us strong physically. God gives us life, and God sustains our life. And so if we find I'm feeling so physically weak, I cannot endure, where does strength come from? It comes from God. Martin Luther says, "In confidence on thee I am terrified at no assault. Contend against all kinds of enemies. Leap over walls and whatever else is opposed to me. That is, I who in myself am weak shall be invincible in thee." An interesting way there that Luther sort of rewords the thought process there to help us understand. I think David, particularly in his life, has many memories of these physical victories of running and leaping. And look at the things that David has done in his life. God gave him the strength to do those things. And so you and I, whenever we remember times, whenever we were able to stay awake for days at a time, or times whenever we have been, it has been required of us to have physical strength, God gives strength. God strengthens us, and he gives life. And this is the second way we see in Psalm 18 that God strengthens David, and I would like to make the application to you and I as well. God will also strengthen us physically to endure our trials. The third way we find that God strengthens David and you and I in Psalm 18 is by revealing his sovereign plan. Look at verse 30. "As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is proven." Now, here we're speaking about the way of God, what God does, what God has decreed. And that particular way of God is perfect. I think that's a strength to you and I. It should strengthen us to know that God is sovereign. Whatever trial that we're in or whatever thing we're trying to endure, is it not strengthen us to know that God is sovereign? And I believe Psalm 18 puts that thought before us. Now, there is a particular application here that you and I are often confused about the way of God, or the will of God, and we want God to tell us what God doesn't want to tell us. It's good for us to see that there is a hidden will of God and that there is a revealed will of God. So, as we would say from our text, there is a hidden way of God and there is a revealed way of God. And it's so very interesting that you often find among Christians, and I have to confess that I fall into that category, look at how much trouble that we get into because we want to know the hidden will of God, but we ignore the revealed will of God. In fact, we spend most of our time wanting to know the hidden things of God, but then we neglect the things that are revealed. What is the revealed will of God? Found in the Word of God. And we neglect that because we want to know the future, or we want to know things that God has not revealed. Now, how much stronger that would we be if we would focus on the perfect way of God that has been revealed? God's Word. And if we would stop worrying about the things that have not been revealed. What does the Word of God tell us? It tells us His way is perfect. And so we would be strengthened if we would recognize that the things that are hidden from us are perfect. But my friends, what is it that we are not convinced of today? That the things that are hidden from us are perfect. We feel that God has a problem or an error in His plan, and that we know best, but we want to know what God has planned. This is the third way that God has strengthened us, by revealing His way to us. Now, how does that come into the offices of Christ? The will of God revealed to us comes through the prophetic ministry of Christ. So another connection to the offices of Christ. Now, I found in reading through and studying this week, I just felt Thomas Boston's work was so wonderful on the providence of God and the perfection of His way. And I can't help but read through some of these thoughts of Thomas Boston this afternoon. Talking about providence, listen to some of his good guidance here. He says, "Providence seems to forget the promises of God, and the Word seems to miscarry. Abraham thought that he saw this fault in God's Word, and he would take a way of his own to rectify it. But though the promise tarried, yet it was accomplished, for Isaac and not Ishmael was to be his heir." Secondly, we find with providence, the first point was that it seems to go against the promises of God. But the third thing is that providence seems to go cross to the promises of God, His works to His Word. Sometimes it seems that God is pulling down with one hand what He seems to be building up with the other. Doesn't it appear that way to us, as we pausing there on Boston's thought, but that sometimes it seems that God has promised to bless us, but then we're being broken down on this side, and we don't know which one is right. Is the providence of God, the way things actually happen, is it contrary to the Word of God and the promises of God? We find that Boston continues again with the example of Abraham. He says, "Thus it appeared when Abraham was commanded to sacrifice Isaac, so also it was when God threatened to cut short the days of Hezekiah. But there is no fault here in the providence of God. Wait until the end, as in these instances. They are but raw travelers who think that the way always lies forward. The way in the wilderness, though, is often crooked." Boston continues with providence. "Providence, running sometimes, it seems, quite contrary to the design of providence. Many times the Lord has a design on foot for the good of His church and His people, but a continual tract of disappointments crosses it more and more, till the very gravestone seems to be laid upon it. Thus it was with Joseph when he was put in the dungeon. But what fault is there here, more than when the sun sets to make it darker and darker till daybreak? Still, and stay till the dawning of the design. Oftentimes, providence reads best backwards." Now, that's a good thought there, that God is strengthening us, but we want to read providence as it happens now. But God will often reveal that things in the past are much clearer. A couple more thoughts here from Boston. He says, "Providence seems to lay aside the most likely means. Or if He lay aside the means, He will accomplish His design by other means. But what if it seems to be unlikely? Naaman, in distress, stumbled at the unlikeliness of the means described by the prophet for the cure of his leprosy. The disciples of Jesus also stumbled and judged the death of Christ to be a very unlikely means of leading him and them to glory. And they had the same opinion of his ascension. Men have their own ways. They will often think that they know best what is good for them, but God knows that his people are not good choosers of their own lot, and sovereignty will have a latitude. Providence seems to fall on means quite contrary to the design of it. But what is the worse for the blind man when he was cured with clay put upon his eyes? The Lord works healing often by wounding, and comfort by tears. The earthquake, the troubling of the waters, the dungeon of Joseph, the den of Daniel, the whale of Jonah. Yea, we know that all things work together for the good to them that love God and are called according to his purpose in Romans 8:28. Now, forgive me for that long quotation from Boston, but I think it's so helpful for us to realize that that's one of the ways that God strengthens us, by showing us his sovereignty. And that comes through his word. And this is what is happening in verse 30 of Psalm 18. God revealing his perfect way is another way that we see the prophetic work of Jesus Christ. And in this revealing of his way, God strengthens David. And I would also submit to you that this is the third way that God strengthens you and I today, by revealing his sovereignty. Now, what an interesting observation to make. How much of the modern church rejects the sovereignty of God? A great portion of it. And so is it any wonder then we step back and survey the church in our day? Is the church strong? It most absolutely is not, because the church has rejected one of the ways that God strengthens the church. It's rejected his sovereignty. Fourthly, we find that God strengthens us by protecting us from harm. In verse 30, he is a shield to all those who trust in him. And this is another way that God strengthens us today in Psalm 18, by being a shield to us. And how often do the scriptures speak of God's protection over us, of his gathering us together, of his putting protections around us? And we find many times the word of God speaks of God's working all things to our good, as we have read in Romans 8:28. This, my friends, is a work of the kingly office of Jesus Christ. You see, that's printed, I believe, in your worship order there. How doth Christ execute the office of a king? Christ executeth the office of a king in calling out of the world a people to himself, and giving them officers, laws, and censures by which he visibly governs them, and bestowing saving grace upon his elect, rewarding their obedience and correcting them for their sins, preserving and supporting them under all their temptations and sufferings. You see, that's what a king does. And that's what Jesus does by being our shield. He protects us. Does that strengthen you and I today? I believe it certainly should. You see, that strengthened David, and so I believe that it also strengthens us. The fifth way we find that God strengthens us in Psalm 18 is by reminding us who we are, by reminding us of our creatureliness. Look at verse 31. Who is God except the Lord? You see, the implication there is that you're not God. No one else is God. Only God is God. And who is a rock except our God? It is God who arms me with strength and makes my way perfect. You see, you can't come away from Psalm 18 and verse 31 by feeling divine yourself. You are not. You are put in your place by Psalm 18:31. In other words, the source of strength is not me. It is God. And it is truly amazing, again, as we make an application of the modern church, so many Christians hold to the truthfulness of the Word of God. And they love the Lord with all of their heart. But yet they somehow find within the pages of God's Word a message of self-reliance, a message of self-salvation. There has never been a more clear record of the creatureliness of man than the Word of God, formed out of the very dirt of the ground. How does that creature come to be prideful? And we're thankful today that God is continually, repeatedly pounding into us our creatureliness with His Word. From page one to the end, we are creatures. We are created, and we are not God. I believe that this is one of the ways that God strengthened David. Is that not true? David was made to see that he was not the source of power or strength. It was God. And I think you and I need a heavy dose of that today as well, to be strengthened by realizing our creatureliness. The sixth way we find in our passage before us, Psalm 18, the sixth way that God strengthens us is by making our steps to be sure. Look at verse 33. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer and sets me on my high places. This is one of the ways that Christ, in His kingly work, is powerfully ordering all things for His glory and for our good. You understand the image that's before us here, the feet of a deer. We're often perplexed to see how an animal can climb rocks or leap over things and be so sure-footed. Well, that's a gift that we don't always possess. We don't have those natural gifts. But from a spiritual perspective, God makes our feet like the feet of a deer. Now, how does He do that? God is able to place our feet exactly where He desires our feet to be. That's a wonderful thing. I find great strength in that thought, that God makes my feet like the feet of a deer, because it seems as though every day I have to make some huge life-changing decision. And I'm terrible at that. I hate making big decisions. I don't like doing that. And so it seems as though that's a lack of faith on my part, because God has promised to make my feet like the feet of a deer. When I come to make a decision, even in my faults, God is making my decisions to be sure and sound and clear. By the prophetic ministry of Christ, He is able to strengthen the ground that I walk on and strengthen the decisions that I make. He directs my path and He sets me upon a high place. And so even when we are unsure about our decisions, our steps, if we're doing things in the right way, if we are seeking to obey God, if we are seeking to be guided by God and His Word, He will make our steps to be sure. My friends, that is a profound way of strengthening us today. I feel stronger in thinking of that process, that God makes my feet sure, because I don't always feel that way. So we find that we are strengthened. God strengthened David in this way, and so God strengthens you and I. The eighth way that we are strengthened in our text in Psalm 18 is that God strengthens us by giving us spiritual assurance. Look at verse 35. You also have given me the shield of your salvation. Your right hand has held me up. Your gentleness has made me great. You see how each of these statements is a distinct statement all in of itself? It's another way that God has strengthened us, that He has given us the shield of our salvation. The spiritual protection that we have is communicated to us through the prophetic work of Jesus Christ. But very interestingly, it's accomplished by the kingly and the priestly work of Christ. You see how those three offices of Christ work together to give us the shield of salvation? Larger Catechism question 44 asks, how did Christ execute the office of a priest? Christ executed the office of a priest and is once offering himself a sacrifice without spot to God to be reconciliation for the sins of his people and in making continual intercession for them. Let's make the application from that. Are you strengthened today by the shield of salvation? How would that strengthen you? Well, that would give you strength in your everyday activities. It would give you strength in rising in the morning and going to sleep at night. It would give you strength in your family. In so many ways, the shield of salvation strengthens God's people by giving us spiritual assurance. I believe God strengthened David this way. And I also believe that this is another way that God strengthens you and I. The ninth way in our passage that God strengthens us through Psalm 18 is by enlarging the path before us. Look at verse 36. You enlarged my path under me, so my feet did not slip. Now, this is very close to what we read earlier with the fact that God makes our steps sure in verse 33. But notice what he says in verse 36. Not only does he make our steps sure, he makes the path wide. Now, I love the imagery that is here in Psalm 18 about having the wide path. By making the way clear, God shows us that our choices are often quite obvious. Isn't it interesting how often you hear Christians say things like, I really wish I knew the will of God. I just wish I knew the will of God. And you see they'll pound their head against the wall. I really wish I knew the will of God. Well, look at how much that God has revealed that likely that person is completely ignoring. God has made the path wide under us by his revelation to us, by the commandments that God has given to us. It's often very clear what we ought to do in a particular situation. By making our choices to be obvious, God strengthens us. Christ's prophetic work, once more, has clearly shown us what steps that we should take in a particular time. And yes, we will often be confronted with moral dilemmas where we find that we are not sure which commandment to follow in a particular place. We've talked about that some in our time struggling through the life of David. But the Word of God makes our choices, more often than not, to be very, very clear. The path beneath us, my friends, today, Christian, that path is not covered with weeds. It's not shrouded in mystery or clouds or whatever imagery we could think. The path before us is actually quite wide. We just don't want to look at it, and we don't want to follow it. My friends, the prophet Jesus Christ makes the path to be wide. He makes the path to be clear. He makes the path to be obvious by his word to us. And I do believe that to David, by enlarging the path, God is strengthening David, and you and I enjoy that same strength. Again, the word of God is not hidden in mystery. It is at some parts of the book might require a little more study, but the word of God is before us. It is clear to understand, and it makes the path wide. The tenth way that God strengthens us in Psalm 18 is by defeating our enemies. Now, this is one of the ones we really like, that God defeats our enemies. Sometimes the way he strengthens us is difficult for us. But in this particular example, look how much of this psalm is taken up by that. We read a great portion this morning about the anger of God and about how that was directed to our enemies. Does that strengthen us, that God defeats our enemies? Well, it should make us more able to endure temptations and persecutions and to stand against those people who are more powerful than us. Let's pick up with verse 37 and see some of the ways that God has defeated our enemies. I have pursued my enemies and overtaken them. Now, what has David already said about his strength? He's already made the point that God who arms me with strength, back in verse 32. So this is not a bragging portion of the psalm. He's already said God made him strong. Well, as we pick up in verse 37, I pursued my enemies and have overtaken them. Neither did I turn back again till they were destroyed. I have wounded them so that they could not rise. They have fallen under my feet, for you have armed me with strength for the battle. Again, crediting God with the giving of strength for battle and defeating the enemies. We pause there. A point that we could make is that, yes, God has defeated our enemies, but often we still have to go to battle. So we don't just pray for this mysterious strength and our enemies just to fall off the face of the earth. We still have to go to battle, as we see in Psalm 18. You have subdued under me those who rose up against me. You have also given me the necks of my enemies, so that I destroyed those who hated me. They cried out, but there was none to save. None to save. What a terrifying thought if you are not in Christ. What a terrifying thought. Even to the Lord, but he did not answer them. Then I beat them as fine as the dust before the wind, and I cast them out like dirt in the streets. You have delivered me from the strivings of the people. You have made me the head of the nations. A people I have not known shall serve me. As soon as they hear of me, they obey me. The foreigners submit to me. The foreigners fade away, and they come frightened from their hideouts. The Lord lives. Blessed be my rock. Let the God of my salvation be exalted. Now, our friends, we see in Psalm 18, the defeat of our enemies is a clear work of our great King, Jesus Christ. What did we read about the kingly work of Jesus Christ concerning our enemies? That he restrains and overcomes all of our enemies, and powerfully ordering all things for his own glory and their good, and also in taking vengeance on the rest who know not God and obey not the gospel. You see, Christ has won that battle. The battle belongs to the Lord, and we reap the benefits of Christ's victory over our enemies. And if that doesn't strengthen us today, what will? This is a strengthening that we have from the Lord Jesus Christ, that he has defeated our enemies. And I believe that in this way God strengthened David, and so in this way God will strengthen you. Now, just by way of commenting on the text here, this is another place where commentators want to say that these things are not completely true of David in this particular text. So it may have been true in a certain sense, but it's only completely fulfilled in Jesus Christ. And I think that that's a good point to make here. David is speaking of things much larger than him, things that are only ultimately true of Jesus Christ. And what have we found so far in our study of the Psalms? That happens a lot. It happens a lot. And here is another example to where it is completely true in Jesus Christ. Now, we have two more to go. Let's see the 11th way that we are strengthened in Psalm 18 is that God covenants with us and he makes us his people. Now, is this a way that we are strengthened by God today, that he covenants with us? How often do we take lightly that God has made us his people? We don't always behave as though we're his people. But look at what our text has before us in verse 47. This is another way that we're strengthened. It is God who avenges me and subdues the peoples under me. He delivers me from my enemies. You also lifted me above those who rise against me. You have delivered me from the violent man. Therefore, I will give thanks to you, O God. And look at what our text says. Among the Gentiles, and sing praises to your name. Now, this is such a wonderful portion of Psalm 18. You see, there is something very special about David. It's not that David was David. It's that David belonged to God. That God had covenanted with David to raise him up above the Gentiles or those who were battling against him. And I think the application applies to you and I today too. There is something special about you, Christian. You belong to God. You are his. And that should strengthen you today. You get this strength from Psalm 18. You are set apart. You are not like the world. You are a special people to God. And Psalm 18 makes this so very clear. And you ask, well, how is it really that clear? Well, you see, David is distinguishing himself from the Gentiles. And yes, this is the point where we have a wonderful New Testament commentary on our passage. This is actually the one point directly where Psalm 18 is quoted in the New Testament. Turn with me, if you would, to Romans chapter 15. Now, Paul is pointing out the bringing of the Gentiles to within the people of God. Listen to Romans chapter 15 and verse 7. Therefore, receive one another just as Christ also received us to the glory of God. Now I say that Jesus Christ has become a servant to the circumcision for the truth of God, to confirm the promises made to the fathers, and that the Gentiles might glorify God for His mercy, as it is written, Psalm 18. You see there? It's quoting Psalm 18. It says, "For this reason I will confess in you to you among the Gentiles and sing to your name." You see, this portion of Psalm 18 shows us how you and I become the covenant people of God. I haven't done a head count, but unless you're a Jewish convert to Christianity, most of us are probably Gentiles. We come into the people of God from outside the people of Israel to become the greater people of God. And Psalm 18 makes this so clear. The Apostle Paul thought so too, and he talks about it in Romans 15. Now listen, if you would, as we wrap up our time with to Matthew Henry and his observations on Romans 15. He says, "Observe Christ's favor to the Gentiles and taking them in to praise God." That's you and me today. "The work of the church on earth and the wages of that in heaven. One design of Christ was that the Gentiles likewise might be converted, that they might be one with the Jews in Christ's mystical body. The fulfilling of the Scriptures is in this. The favor of God to the Gentiles was not only mercy, but truth. And though there were not promises directly given to them as to the fathers of the Jews, yet there were many prophecies concerning them, which related to the calling of them and the embodying of them into the church." That's what we read of in Psalm 18. "Some of which he mentions because it was a thing that the Jews were hardly persuaded to believe." Look at how much of the New Testament is arguing with the Jews who didn't want the Gentiles to be there. "Thus, by referring them to the Old Testament, he labors to qualify their dislike of the Gentiles and to reconcile the parties at variance. It was foretold that the Gentiles should have the gospel preached to them in Psalm 18. Now, the very fact that we are a special people of God was a strength to David. It's a strength to you and I as well. And it should be today. If you're not strengthened to know you belong to God, I don't know how to give you strength from the Word of God. The 12th way, and we'll close with this, is that God strengthens us by giving us Jesus Christ. Look at verse 50. Look at how Psalm 18 ends with a prophecy about Jesus Christ. "Great deliverance he gives to his king, and he shows mercy to his anointed, to David and his descendants forever." Now, how are we blessed through David if not for Christ? David has very little to say to us today, only in God's word. And we're only blessed in the sense that we are blessed through David's descendant, Jesus Christ. And that is a wonderful way to end Psalm 18. The promise of the coming Messiah in verse 50 is that final strength from Psalm 18. All 12 are oriented around the work of Jesus Christ and then coming into a perfect landing with the last one, which is Jesus Christ Himself. What a strength to the people of God. And what greater strength do we have today than that we are in Christ? The coming of Jesus Christ was a thing that God gave to strengthen David. And for you and I, it is the same. What a wonderful truth that we gain from Psalm 18. You know, all along in our study of 1 Samuel, we've seen that David is a type of Christ. And yes, his reign was a type of Christ. His successful reign, it was imperfect. But David still points us on to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And look, he seems to do it in Psalm 18 with his last breath is a prophecy about Jesus Christ. We have seen then 12 ways that we are strengthened by God in Psalm 18. And the amazing thing to see as we conclude is that all 12 come through the ministry of Jesus Christ. Another way to say it is that we would have nothing without Jesus Christ. And my friends, today, if you are not safe and secure with Jesus Christ, you truly are an example of weakness in everything that you do in this life. You are weak and you have no strength, because the Bible teaches us that strength only comes through Jesus Christ. But to the Christian, we are strong. Even when we are trampled down or when it seems we are weak, Psalm 18 is filled with examples of Christ strengthening you today. Don't overlook the strength that comes from Psalm 18. Do you take advantage of these many means of finding strength today? All 12 are ways that you are strengthened in Christ. Be strong, Christian, and enjoy the strength that comes from our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's stand together and pray. Our Father in heaven, grant to us a greater appreciation of the work of Jesus Christ, of His work as prophet, priest, and king. And bless us now through Him, and point us onward in Him, and make us wise by Him. In His name we pray. Amen.